So here in Spain, it's time to talk to Brevin Thranks, Brett Hansen. How are you doing, Brett?
Yeah, I'm good. Happy New Year to you and Happy New Year to our listeners.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, as we move further into January, there's a good time to update listeners on Spanish taxation and what they need to be aware of in 2023. In particular, Brett and I will look at the new solidarity tax, which the government had suddenly announced at the end of September. So, Brett, what is the solidarity tax? Why is it being introduced? And has it been approved now?
So, the Spanish government first announced plans to impose this new tax, this solidarity tax, just a few days after the Andalusian government announced back in September of last year that they were abolishing wealth tax in their region. Now, for any listeners who are not familiar with wealth tax, this tax is payable by residents and non-residents of Spain based on the assets they hold on the 31st of December of each year. Spanish residents are liable to this tax on their worldwide assets, and non-residents of Spain are liable to wealth tax on their Spanish assets only. And there are allowances before this tax has to be paid, so it's a tax which is not applicable to everyone. At the state level, Howard, each individual has a personal allowance of €700,000, and residents of Spain have a further main home allowance of €300,000. So any Spanish residents whose worldwide assets are valued less than €1 million, or a married couple who have joint assets below €2 million worldwide, wouldn't normally be required to pay this tax. But there are regional variations whereby, for example, the personal allowance in both the Valencia and Catalonia regions are lower. So a Spanish resident living in one of these two regions have lower personal allowances. Using the previous example of a married couple who are residents in Valencia or Catalonia would find themselves paying wealth tax if they have worldwide assets of over €1.6 million. Whenever, Howard, we're talking about tax rules and tax rates in Spain, it's always important to bear in mind that whilst these are largely decided centrally, there are 17 autonomous regions across Spain, each having the power to increase or decrease their tax rates and allowances to varying degrees. And with regards to the region of Andalusia, as I mentioned, in September of last year, they approved the abolition of wealth tax. And so, with Andalusia getting rid of this tax and Madrid not having applied it for years, the central government introduced its own wealth tax at government level, which they have called the solidarity tax. They've stated that this is a temporary measure in that it's to be introduced for 2 years and will be reviewed afterwards. But when wealth tax was reinstated back in 2011, this too was meant to have been a temporary measure, but continued each year temporarily until it was made permanent in 2021. Now, the purpose of this new tax, Howard, is twofold. It's been introduced to collect more tax from those who they describe as having large fortunes in order to help both tackle the energy and inflationary crisis. But at the same time, they state that this tax will also help harmonise wealth taxation between the different autonomous regions, thereby stopping any particular autonomous region from competing to introduce lower rates of wealth tax. I have to say, Howard, that when this tax was first proposed by the government back in September of last year, there was a fair amount of scepticism that it would actually become law, mainly because it was quite sudden, the announcement, and coming fairly close to the year end. But also there was a lot of uncertainty on how it would work. But the law was published and entered into force before the end of 2022, which means that taxpayers will need to pay this tax for the first time this year for their wealth as at the 31st of December of last year.
So who's affected by this new tax, and will people have to pay both this and the standard wealth tax?
Well, Howard, this solidarity tax potentially affects any Spanish tax residents who have worldwide assets worth €3 million or more, or any non-Spanish tax residents who have Spanish assets, which are €3 million and above. And with regards to your question on whether both this and wealth tax will need to be paid, the rules on this are quite clear in that to avoid double taxation, the taxpayer is first to deduct from their tax liability any wealth tax payable to their autonomous community before having to pay this solidarity tax, if any is due. This will mean that for those residents living in regions which have a wealth tax, most will likely not need to pay this solidarity tax, or will only pay part of it if the rates in the region that they live in are lower than the solidarity tax rates. But for those living or owning assets in an autonomous community where wealth tax is not payable, which are Madrid and Andalusia, well, then the solidarity tax will be payable in full because no autonomous wealth tax will be deducted.
Okay. So how does the solidarity tax work, and what are the rates, and are there any allowances and exemptions?
Well, like wealth tax, assets will need to be valued as at the 31st of December of each year in the same way that they are valued for wealth tax. And like wealth tax, there are allowances, and these are the same as the state wealth tax allowances I mentioned earlier, with everyone having a personal allowance of €700,000 and Spanish tax residents who own a Spanish property in Spain having a further €300,000 as an allowance, which will count as their main home allowance. Therefore, taking into account these allowances and the fact it starts at €3 million, only residents of Spain with a net wealth higher than €4 million will have a tax liability to pay. And then, depending upon how much wealth you have above this €4 million, will depend upon the overall rate of tax that you pay, as rates start at 1.7% of the value of your assets, but increase progressively to as much as 3.5%. To put that into perspective, someone with, say, €5 million of assets will pay solidarity tax of around €34,000 per year, and someone with wealth of, say, €10 million will pay close to €138,000 per year.
When is the first payment due?
Well, as the law was published and entered into force before the end of last year, Howard, taxpayers will need to pay this tax for the first time between April and June of this year, based on the value of their assets as at the 31st of December of last year.
Did Spain's 2023 budget include any other tax rises?
Well, I'm still waiting confirmation on what government proposals did pass into law, but a key proposal was the possibility of them increasing tax rates on what is referred to as savings income. Now, savings income applies to income which comes from dividends, bank interest, and income from life insurance contracts. But it also applies to capital gains on the sale and transfer of assets. And this tax starts at 19%, but increases progressively to 26%. The proposal was to increase the 26% rate on income or gains over €200,000 to 27%, and then to add a further rate of 28% on income on savings or capital gains over €300,000. This could impact any listeners if, for example, they are a Spanish tax resident and are looking to sell, say, their UK property, or they're not Spanish tax residents but are looking to sell their Spanish holiday home. And in either situation, if the gains are in excess of €200,000, where previously they would have paid as much as 26% in tax, it may be that they will now have to pay tax at rates as much as 27 or even 28%.
What about tax cuts?
Well, I think the thing to bear in mind here, Howard, is that most governments across the world find themselves needing to increase taxes to help pay for the support which was provided during the pandemic and to cover the increase in health and social costs associated with aging populations, certainly in the developed nations of the world. And as it is, the Spanish government were wanting to pass a budget which had the highest sum ever assigned for social spending. So whilst it does attempt to help those on lower incomes by reducing the income tax for people earning up to around €21,000 per year, I'm afraid that for those on incomes higher than this, then they will probably find that they're paying either the same amount or more tax in the future. While certainly not tax cuts, I do think it's worth highlighting a few of the positives from the budget, that the government plans to adjust pensions in line with inflation, increasing them by 8.5% next year, and it also plans to increase spending on primary medical care and mental health. Interestingly, it also plans to step up defence spending, helping Spain reach the NATO member goal of devoting 2% of GDP to national defence by 2029, undoubtedly a response to the situation in the Ukraine.
Are there any other tax reforms that may affect our listeners?
Well, something which will probably interest some listeners, especially those who are looking to move to Spain but are finding that the non-lucrative or the golden visas are not suitable, is the startup law, which was finally approved after years of negotiations and legislative process. Some listeners may not be familiar with the term startup law, but are more likely have heard of the digital nomads visa and the Beckham rule, which it relates to. And in effect, this digital nomad visa, or visa for telework of international character, will allow international teleworkers or digital nomads to be able to live in Spain for a maximum of 1 year, which can then be extended. Now, an international teleworker or a digital nomad has been defined as an individual who works at a distance for a company located outside of the EU or EEA, for example, the UK, via computer, telematic and telecommunication means and systems. They will be able to obtain this visa through the Spanish consulate by proving that they are a qualified professional who have a graduate or postgraduate qualification from university or a similar level of qualification from a similar institution, or have at least 3 years of professional experience. And the taxation of the holders of these visas will be in line with the Beckham rule regime, which in effect allows those individuals to be taxed as non-residents of Spain and only pay tax in Spain on Spanish-sourced income. For anyone not familiar with the Beckham rule, it was introduced in Spain when David Beckham joined Real Madrid to play football, and in order to entice him, the government at the time passed some very specific tax legislation, which meant that under certain conditions, which he clearly met, he would be able to only pay tax in Spain on his Spanish-sourced income, i.e. his Real Madrid salary, and not pay Spanish tax on his worldwide assets and other income.
In Spain, although we have state tax rates and allowances, the various autonomous communities have the power to adjust these to a certain extent, and they also approve local budgets for each new year. Have the regions all taken a similar tax approach for this year?
Yeah, it's a good question, Howard. Well, like the central government, it appears that the autonomous communities' main target this year is to assist the lower paid by reducing their taxes whilst increasing the tax burden on the more wealthy. Looking at a few of the regional communities most listeners will probably be interested in knowing about, the Valencia region intends to reduce their regional income tax rates for those earning less than 60,000 euros a year. And so this will be good news for anyone living in this region and is retired with income less than this figure. Also in this region, the tax-exempt threshold for income will also be increased by around 10% for both personal and family incomes, taking it up to 6,105 euros from the 5,550 euros it has been fixed at for a number of years now. In Andalusia, at the beginning of last year, they lowered their income tax rates, and a few months later, they introduced measures to reduce the taxes paid on inheritances and gifts in the region. And then when it comes to Murcia, they have reduced their personal income tax rate by just over 4%, a measure which they estimate will benefit 96% of those required to submit tax returns in their region. And if we just take a look at Madrid, they're planning to cut income tax for lower paid workers, but also for new self-employed persons in this region. They will have their social security fees paid by their local government for the first year of being self-employed. And if their monthly earnings in the second year is below the minimum wage, which currently stands at around 1,000 165 euros a month, then they will also have their social security fees covered for that year by the regional government. And I'll just touch on the Balearic Islands, because they appear to be focusing more on targeting economic growth and promoting greater job creation. They are going to incorporate new tax deductions for both corporate and income tax for non-residents who have investments which promote jobs in the region. And they will also be introducing reductions in tax on the sale of assets produced in the Balearic Islands within the industrial, livestock, agricultural and fishing industries. But as I said, we are waiting confirmation as to whether these all came into law, and I'm sure we'll be covering those in a broadcast in the next few weeks.
So what's your advice to our listeners in view of all this?
Well, Howard, as our regular listeners will know, I have often spoken about the importance of sitting down regularly with an experienced, qualified and regulated advisor in order to ensure that not only are your investments and or pensions invested appropriately, but that your circumstances, objectives and tax situation are also reviewed each year. It's vitally important to ensure that your financial affairs remain compliant and up to date, and that they take into account ever-changing tax rates and tax rules, as we've heard today. And there may also be new opportunities that you could find beneficial, but only if you know about them. And so if there are any listeners who feel that they could do with sitting down with one of our qualified and fully regulated advisors in order to discuss their situation, whether it's because they have concerns about the tax they are paying, how their investments or pensions are performing, or maybe they just haven't had their situation reviewed for quite some time, then they can find the contact details of our local Blevins Franks offices at our website, www.blevinsfranks.com. And Howard, at that website, it's also a good conduit to access articles, podcasts, videos, and our tax guides, including in the coming weeks a new tax guide incorporating the changes introduced in the recent budgets at both the state and regional levels.
Well, many thanks for that. We'll talk again in a fortnight.
Thanks, Howard. Take care now.